Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
SmackDown this week started with a recap of that great go-home angle we did have on Raw between The Rock and Cody Rhodes. Do you know what Corey Graves said? He went, ha-ha, well, I bet Cody was seeing red. So he was making light of this thing, and yet nobody called the cop. Also, hello, my friends, and welcome to SmackDown Ups and Downs, the weekly wrestling show, courtesy of me, Simon Miller, where I just tell you my thoughts about sports entertainment, and then we have a big old hug. That's nice, isn't it? Isn't it nice to just enjoy pro wrestling instead of going on the internet going, whoa, look at these numbers I saw from some random report. Everybody's gone crazy. Let's up those dads. We got right into our first match too, because it was pretty deadly versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. What a lovely treat this was, like being on holiday. Kid Wilson and KO started this before Randy Orton and Alan Prince got in there. You know the deal. Pretty Deadly tried their best. Essentially, they got murked. The problem is, Pretty Deadly are pretty good at being petty, which is a tongue twister you should try today. So eventually, they threw Randy into the Allen announce table, and then they took over. And I was like, my gosh, could they do it? And small spoiler, they could. Sadly, they did kind of get screwed by the commercial breaks, and we did come back from the advert. All of a sudden, Orton had all the power in his veins. So I'm going to assume that he was being choked out by Elton Prince. He started to go, ha ha, you do know you stole your name from Elton John. And Prince was like, no, I didn't. It's just coincidence. And then he was able to get himself free of that. And the whole time, Kevin Owens had been heating his hand up in some warm water. Hot tag. As always, he went crazy too, and he threw these guys around until he went for the Swanton, because I guess Prince knew what was coming, and he got the knees up, Pretty Deadly, back on top. Corey Graves was then talking about the fact, can Kevin Owens and Randy Orton coexist? And I was like, wait a minute, Core. We've just seen them coexisting for like the last 5 minutes. I mean, neither guy disappeared into the Phantom Zone. I think they're doing okay. Orton then decided that he wants some revenge, or he was going to throw Kit into the announce table, when somebody must have pushed the shenanigan button. I need a better word than that. I'll come up with it. Because all of a sudden, dun, 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 we got shenanigans. And that is because Elton Prince ran in to make the save, which totally confused the ref, and he totally forgot what his job was meant to be. When Logan Paul popped up behind Kevin Owens, he was wearing the brass knucks, and he punched him right in the face. Prince didn't care about that at all, because he just got the pin. They were like, oh my gosh, we won. When somebody aired the replay on the big screen, and Randy Orton saw this, and he figured it out. Why doesn't that happen all the time? During all of this, well, Logan Paul had just vanished into the abyss. But then everybody realised, oh, he's under the ring. So what did the Viper do? He went and got him. By this stage, though, Pretty Deadly had decided to help their friend, which was a terrible idea, because they got hit with the stunner. They got hit with the RKO when Randy Orton and Kevin Owens quite literally chased Logan Paul out of the building to the point he stole a car. So bring it down. There it is. That's the crime counter. You can't steal cars. I really enjoyed this though, and Pretty Deadly has to sell this for the next 72 years and go, oh my gosh, we beat two Hall of Famers. And also, KO took the pin here. Could he win the US title at WrestleMania? I hope so. I love that guy. I see him as my best friend because I'm really strange. But I enjoy this feud. Ticking the boxes. Up. We then got our first video package next, which was Io Sky talking about Bayley. She said, listen to me, Bales, you're an embarrassment, and you're a hypocrite, and you're a narcissist. It's like, man, what else do you got? She also said they only kept Bayley around in damage control until they were totally done with her. And the really cool thing about this is that when we were done with the video, we kind of panned out with the director going, okay, thanks, Io, we appreciate you coming in. When Bayley ran in, she whooped her. So that felt like something a little bit different, which WWE has been doing with their production recently, and it feels so darn fresh. And you know the deal. When we get to WrestleMania, should Bayley win and get her Mania moment and the title? Yes. Yes, she should. And speaking of WrestleMania, it was then time to start teasing more of that. And yes, we called it. Nick Aldis came to the ring, and he was like, oh, man, SmackDown, what a tremendous show. I'm so proud of the work I had been doing. And can you believe it? I've just got a major addition. Everybody welcome Jade Cargill. So she is being treated like a mega babyface here, because everyone was like, oh, my gosh, it's Jade Cargill. Especially way back on commentary, who I'm pretty sure said, She is the best human being ever. Made me laugh. Jade herself told us that she's a once-in-a-lifetime superstar and she's coming for the entire women's locker room because the storm has arrived. And then she left. Now look, if this has been all we would have done, I would have scratched my bald head a bit, but there is a part two, so we'll just park it here for now, and around about 10 minutes, we'll get back to it. Sound good?
Good.
Kelly Braxton was then having a quick chat with Damage Control, and clearly Dakota Kai, with her crew, had decided we are just going to use the same insults over and over, because she basically took what Io Sky said about Bayley, and she applied it to Bianca Belair. Basically, it was all like EST my ass, because they are going to face each other on the main event. When we went to Nick Aldis, who was just talking to Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they were like screaming a bit, then they ran away. We really gotta do something with them. The point is, AJ Styles then barged in. I was like, wait a minute, you said you weren't gonna come to SmackDown if you knew LA Knight was there. Then he justified this by saying, hey, Nikki, did you tell La not to come to this show? And Aldis went, well, I did ask him. I fell for AJ Styles here. He was like, man, you should have told him not to come. What good are you? He's right. We then did have to sort our big old ladder match at WrestleMania, so we did have the Street Profits taking on Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. You ain't gonna believe this. Austin and Grayson won. Ooh la la. Now I am super pleased about this because I think they have been excellent together in 2024. And you know they're just gonna get absolutely destroyed in that thing, but in the best possible way. But when it comes to Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, I mean, I just don't get it, man. This feud with the Final Testament, the Last Testament, the Whoop-De-Doo Testament, I don't know what they're called. Well, it just ain't clicking, at least not for me. Now, this did all tie in as well, because at one point, the Street Profits went absolutely crazy, especially when Montez Ford got this hot tag. And this is the Profits of the Street that I remember. I was like, man, we should be doing more of this. It turned out that we were going to use the big screen again, which was the theme of the evening, because just when they were about to win, Karrion Kross popped up on that damn Titantron, and he had beaten the flub out of Bobby Lashley. Now, I was like, wait a minute, I have a question. Why did you wait about 8 minutes to reveal this? Kind of feels like something you could have done a long time ago. Andrew Dawkins was so surprised, he basically left the ring. Montez had taken so long to do his Frog of the Splashes. When he went for it, Austin Theory turned it into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, and he got the 1-2-3. They are going to WrestleMania. As for the Street Profits, well, they'll probably have to sit around playing Nintendo. The Authors of Pain were soon out after this as well, probably to write a book about agony when Karrion Kross was here too. When Bobby Lashley limped out, and I was like, Bob, this is a terrible idea. You can barely move. And surprise, surprise, he got totally wasted. As Karrion Kross basically shouted, you have let down the Street Profits, and now nobody is going to WrestleMania. Like, he's your dad. I really did enjoy this match, though, and I was super-duper happy for Grayson Waller versus Austin Theory, because I'm a big fan, so I am giving it an up. But yeah, it is another down for this feud. I mean, look, it's not anybody's fault. There's so much wrestling on TV. I can't enjoy it all. But this one just kind of falls flat on my end. Hopefully I'm being proven wrong, but down. The Guy Del Fantasma out here next, which is kind of exactly the same as the feud we just talked about. Santos Escobar had some stuff to say. And that was basically he wanted to address all the idiot kids in the crowd wearing Rey Mysterio masks, because he used to be the greatest luchador of all time, but not anymore. He also got outsmarted by one phone call, because of course Santos had rang the condom, Dominic Mysterio, and by this point, as per Wrestling Rule 4.8, his name had been said so many times, out he came. Now, of course, he tried to speak, but he wasn't able to because everybody booed the flub out of him, which I always enjoy. When Dominic started to scream, and essentially he was like, listen, I do hate my deadbeat dad. And given that it is WrestleMania season, I remembered, oh yeah, I want to make your life a living hell. Problem is, he didn't realize how many times he had said Papa's name. So once again, because of Wrestling Clause 4.8, Rey Mysterio came out, and he was with the entire LWO crew. There was a big old stare down here as well, which meant this was super serious. When he turned to Dominic and basically said, man, as a son, you absolutely suck. Made me chuckle. He's also filled with hate these days. He went totally Star Wars because he does not like these two, which is why he has a challenge. Why don't Dominic and Santos Escobar team up to take on Rey Mysterio and a partner of his choice? Now, listen, if I was in the LWO or Carlito who were in the ring, I'd be like, excuse me, I'm right here. And he totally ignored them. No wonder people always turn on Rey. It was kind of cool though, because eventually they introduced that Dragon Lee was officially in the damn thing, and that is going to be our tag team match. And look, I do admit, it doesn't really have the steam needed to be a WrestleMania match, but go through every individual person in this, you just know it's going to be damn entertaining. Zelina Vega also saw an opening here, because of course she is a master of this street fight, and she slapped Electra Lopez. And that's when this all kicked off, with eventually Carlito grabbing Dominic and throwing him to the outside.
so the good guys could stand tall.
So once again, this does feel all over the place, but adding Dominic into the thing was the right idea, because I still love this feud between the Mysterios. When something works, it works. Although, listen, the other side of WrestleMania, we have to put this to bed. We are done with it.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favourite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Gigging up. Naomi and Bianca Belair were then bigging each other up in the back because, of course, Bianca is going to be in the main event tonight. And Naomi is such a good pal, she had EST, like, put into the back of her hair. Now, obviously, I can't really understand that, but I felt it was a nice thing to do. What a lovely pair of people. I also think we started to plant the seeds of a potential Judgment Day breakup here, because Dommy Boy went back to the clubhouse, and they're all like, well, you didn't tell us you were going to do that, did you? Do you have any other secrets? Finn Balor was especially annoyed, and he kind of fell out with Rhea Ripley. And also, Damian Priest was hinting at something, and Rhea was like, do you have something to tell me, mate? And Damo was like, no, when they just agreed to destroy WrestleMania. I'm like, man, I don't think this group is that long for the world. But to be honest, everybody has benefited, and it does come to the end. But it's far better than we were expecting anyway. We then got this really interesting cut too, because we just went back to the ring, and a match was already progressing. I kind of liked it. It was different. But it was the New Catch Republic fighting on behalf of Lord Dooku as they took on Berto and Angel. And they just had a pretty good match. And that's right, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate did win. They're going to the WrestleMania ladder match. I also think that if we do this story where one team is going to grab one set of titles, another team is going to grab the other set, you totally could give it to Peter and Tyler. And I mean this in a good way. It would be kind of nice post-WrestleMania to kind of throw some belts around and have some title changes. They'd be the perfect team to that, and you just know they're always going to deliver in the ring. Tyler Bay, of course, did a big old dive early on, because we must have that when Pete Dunne got in there. And he saw Berto, and he booted him right in the face. Probably because his name kind of makes him sound like a Sesame Street character. Angel did notice all of this, though, so he got a sneaky tag to get in there. And, of course, the New Catch Republic weren't expecting this, because they hadn't used the Force. All of a sudden, Berto and Angel took over. They also hit this powerbomb moonsault combo. They did this avalanche slam from the middle rope. And that's when Tyler had to break up at the last second. We got a 1-2 ooh. Bane was then able to hit a DDT onto Berto as Angel went for something but totally missed. When Pete Dunne was like, listen, I've done what Kevin Owens did earlier. It made sense. The temperature of my hand is warm. They got a hot tag. That was pretty much it as well, because by this point, the New Catch Republic had taken their med packs. They hit the double burning hammer. They got the 1-2-3. They seem pretty happy about it. So this was just a good solid match which did what we had to do, which was add our building blocks to WrestleMania. Which kind of sums up this episode of SmackDown. Like, we didn't have any super duper main event stuff, but we made sure the concrete was setting in place. Don't know what that means. We then got our big catch up from Raw with The Rock walking around going, look at you now, boy. Look at you now, including some awesome stuff when the cameras apparently stopped rolling. When we cut to Paul Heyman, who did have a big reveal. Do you know why the Great One did this, the final boss? It was under orders of the Tribal Chief. Now that totally sounds like something you would say if you were trying to save face, because maybe somebody went out on their own. When Jimmy Uso also jumped in, he was like, Jay, I know you think you're making it to WrestleMania, but you're not. This is because Roman Reigns has dished out more orders, which is of course that Solo is going to take on Jay and finish the job. I don't want to spoil things for you, but I don't think that's going to happen. What I do think we've just done is planted a wedge between The Rock and Roman Reigns. I think a big match is coming. AJ Styles then decided to come to the ring. That's a bit like, dude, you know that LA Knight is here. Oh, I think it's a very smart idea. Now, he did basically blame the crowd for LA Knight turning up his house last week, and that really made me laugh. It's like, what did I do? I was just watching it on TV. He also called LA an overachieving, under-talented piece of trash, which I could totally relate to. When he got so freaked out, he went after the cameraman and basically assaulted him a little bit because he thought it was LA Knight. Now, given that it wasn't LA Knight, there it is. Crime counter, you can't do that to people. This then became hilarious because a random dude just ran in from the crowd and AJ was like, oh, that's LA Knight, but once again it wasn't. And just as he was kind of walking towards the other side of the audience, being like, man, I'm sick of this, once again, he used the big screen, which was having a terrific evening, because who was behind him described as a security guard? It was LA Knight. He went, ta-da, it's me. And man, he kicked Adge's ass. At one point, he went for a steel chair as well, but by this point, Styles had run away. And I tell you, these two are just having a blast with this. You can tell that they're having fun, and that comes out the screen, and then I have fun. I also think they're self-aware enough to know, all right, we're not going to be the main event, and we're not going to be the opener. We've just been sort of stuck in the middle of a WrestleMania card, but because they are just doing so well with it, I am going to give it an up. I was kind of nonplussed about this a few weeks ago, but now, well, I just think it's a right joy. Bravo all round. We then got this video for Tiffany Stratton, and man, she is going to go so far. She just told us about Tiffy Time and that every time she's on TV, she is going to be really hot so she can protect us from the uggos. I tell you, if we get everything else right here and we push her in the right way, she's going to get to the Tiffany top or the Tiffany top. Yeah, that kind of works. I'm going to start using that and we're all going to regret it. We then also got to confirm that the Andre the Giant Battle Royal will be on SmackDown next week as that weird tradition continues. When it was our main event, Bianca Belair versus Dakota Kai. Now, Belair just suplexed her for a while to begin this when Dakota came back with a big knee to the head. Then Belair kind of shook that off and went, well, the suplexes were working before, so I'll just do more suplexes. And she did. Kai's desperation move was to grab Bianca's hair, and once again, I struggled to sympathise with that, or empathise with it, I should say, because it makes no sense to me. But I tell you, Bianca did not like that, because she gave her a face bust and she went, ah, and slammed it into the canvas. I was like, man, never grab Bianca Belair's hair. Bianca then did a moonsault because her list of moves that she does bust out is absolutely crazy. And I swear she kept teasing the jaded here. My eyebrow went up, I knew what was coming. Kai eventually threw Belair into Rhea the ring post, because what every bad guy does to turn the tables. Although then she got instant karma, because she went to do something else. Bianca Belair got out of the way. And do you know what Dakota Kai did, who's only just come back from a knee injury? Her leg went right into Rita. She was screwed. Belair then continued the theme of the match, because she wasn't able to hit some more suplexes. She got a split and hit the KOD for the 1-2-3. And as I always tell you, that rhymes. So we must have done something right. Though I tell you, that was a really good match. The Kabuki Warriors obviously jumped Bianca straight away, which was when Naomi came out to make the save. But this was the same thing she did 7 days ago. After a while, all the damage control had increased their HP, so it was 3-on-2, and Naomi got murked. So it was almost like we needed a third person to help out, so who came to the ring? It was Jade Cargill. Now this is exactly how she should be used as well, because she booted Oscar right in the face. She grabbed Dakota Kai and gave her this, oh my gosh, brutal powerbomb before she murdered Kairi Sane with a jaded when she did this like superhero pin. Wade Barrett was right. She is the greatest person on the planet. Jade then stood side by side with Bianca Belair and Naomi. So, of course, that's probably going to do a six-man tag that we do have at WrestleMania. And I would just have Cargill run wild here and win in about 2 minutes. Because, look, not every single piece of wrestling has to be 6.75 stars in the Tokyo Dome. And I love 6.75 star matches in the Tokyo Dome. But sometimes I want somebody who looks like this to get in the ring and look at everyone and go, ha, 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 you're all dead. And she kills them. It also means they're one step closer to having a full WrestleMania card, and I am going to give this an up. It was just nice to do something a little bit different at the end of SmackDown. I liked it. Now, of course, please do click the video on screen, which is ups and downs for AEW Dynamite, to celebrate all the professional wrestling with the goods and the bads. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Let me know about your opinions when it comes to SmackDown and how pumped you are for WrestleMania in the comments. Otherwise, have a great weekend, my friends. See you soon.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.